and he says, okay, if you're playing better, play it. This is something that you can never forget. A joke makes like this that, listen, I'm talking about something which I was stupid, I didn't know. This chance showed it to me. Everybody knows I changed. I'm trying to give it to you, and it will be for you if you believe in it, if you want to accept it. If not, I cannot do anything because I'm not supposed to fight with you. And if you're selfish, you are the nasnos. I don't want you to be the member of the humanity to begin with. Right? So, all is like this, that this wisdom is something, is not something that somebody could give to someone else or put it in the pocket or prove it or blah blah. This is something that goes softly like this between the people, and you should be ready to accept it. You should be careful to listen to the voice of this. If you want to argue, you're wasting your time and our effort. Yes?
If you play better than I, take it and play. O Musulman, in the quest, good manners are indeed nothing but forbearance with everyone that is unmannerly.
Means what? My English is not good. What? Nothing? Translated. That, oh, you Muslim fellow, you should understand what adab is. Adab is politeness and at the same time is ritual. We talked book one right at the beginning. He said, oh, there are rituals here and you should be careful. Here he will say, you know what, that ritual in talab, in the first step of this path, is to divide yourself from unpolite people. It's that complicated. Yes?
When you see anyone complaining of such and such a person's ill nature and bad temper, know that the complainant is bad tempered, for as much as he speaks ill of that bad tempered person. Because he is good-tempered who is quietly forbearing towards the bad-tempered and ill-natured.
Did you get it? No, none of you. Listen carefully. Because this paragraph was one of the delicate stuff of Rumi. That's why I choose that one to be my favorite, to come here to explain it again and again. Mm-hmm. Here he will give you the secrets. One of the secrets is, have you ever seen the people who sit down and nag and say negative thing about this fellow and that fellow and that fellow? Have you ever seen them? Have you ever seen any different fellow? Here Rumi will say, when a fellow is sitting down and talking negative about someone else, this fellow is a stupid, bad manner fellow. Those that we call him critics, criticizing. We say, if you're good, you see the positive part of it. There are a lot of naggers. What do they nag about? There are stuff they don't understand that, but they want to say, no, I understand. My belief are better than you, and I know what I'm talking about. And all that inflated ego. That's what is here. Yes?
But in the Shaykh, the complaint is by the command of God. It is not in consequence of anger and contentiousness and vain desire.
Means what? Means, okay, I said that this fellow is talking negative about, oh yes, a Shaykh could do the same. But it's not the same case, because this Shaykh knows what he's talking about. If he's talking about negative about someone, that someone is negative. Yes.
It is not a complaint, it is a spiritual correction, like the complaints made by the prophets. Know that the tolerance of the prophets is by command. Otherwise, their clemency is exceedingly tolerant of evil.
Ah, this is something that you never think about. Here when we say the prophets, you know what? They don't nag too much. They are, yes. They don't say yes to whatever stupid stuff you bring. They don't tolerate nonsenses. But not because they don't like it and stuff like that. When it comes to the personal stuff, they tolerate. The only place that they don't tolerate is about harm. Mm-hmm. Remember we said harm is not negotiable. You cannot talk or do something about it. You have to understand and accept it. Here he will say that intolerance of the prophets is not because of the stuff that they are doing, is because of the people that react negatively to them. Yes?
They mortify their nature in toleration of evil. If there be intolerance, it is divine. O Solomon, amidst the crows and falcons, be thou the clemency of God. Sort with all the birds. O 200 Belkis are abased before thy clemency. For, O God, guide my people, verily they know not.
What was that?
Jesus.
Jesus at the last moment on the cross, he would say, O my God, please forgive them. These are stupid people, they don't know what they're doing. He didn't say, God, they are killing me, kill them all. If it was you, you would be like that. This is the comparison to say what is the prophecy or sheikh or the enlightened fellows. They cannot be tolerant to everything. But they are tolerant people. Their intolerance is only in just have justification. The message over there, they don't tolerate. So, altogether, one paragraph, what was it? You see, it started with someone dropping something for the water and forget it. That was just the beginning for me to tell you why I'm writing Masnavi and how should you read it. This is why I'm explaining it. So, be careful here. First of all, from now on, we don't have any subject to argue anymore because we talked about the basics, everything. Now, we are in the second part, which is the magical part, which is unexplainable part. And this needs the same thing I told you, listening. Listening carefully. So, listen carefully. Whatever I make here is about you. Here I will say Solomon, I mean a healthy version of you, an enlightened version of you. This is what it is. Here, I'm not talking about the history or blah blah blah, this and that. We are talking about you. So listen carefully. Here, if you have some arguments again, we have to go back. Enough of the arguments, enough of the negative stuff which rises from your doubts and things like that. We have to have a key, a ring or something when they sleep to wake them up. Yeah, the guy is sleeping.
Yeah, throw a wallet.
Being at home in your comfortable chair and table and all that, and maybe there is some music, I don't know. Anyway, let's go back. Here he explains that, listen, what I'm trying to do is what?
The only thing I could do for you is to bring the sound of the water to you. That's all I can do. So I'm doing it. What about you? Are you waiting for this? Or do you want to have some arguments, philosophic stuff, and blah, blah? If you go there, I cannot tolerate it. Not because I'm intolerant. Let's go out and have a beer, I tolerate all the nonsense, as you say. But here, the subject I'm bringing out is not the subject of tolerance. You cannot negotiate. You say, yeah, okay, this is, I'm sort of in love. It doesn't work that way. So, you should learn that whatever I write here, the words and the sentencing, all are your secret, and I'm bringing out for you to listen to it. Why? Because I show you the silliness of your logic to convince you to quit that logical state of mind, to move to Solomon's property, which is a healthy property. There is no war, there is no argument. All the prophets, they have somebody, they have to fight, argue, blah, blah, Solomon, no. Because that's the example. So he brought it like that. Yes?
On Solomon, on the new piece, sent a threatening message to Baucis saying, do not think to persist in polytheism and do not make delay.
Means what? We hear the story. We know how he started. Remember? The first story, second story, the third story is about Solomon and the Baucis. We are talking about the movement of your logical brain to the field of your spirit, okay? So we talked about it. We brought another story here to just give you a point. Now we go back to it and we have to repeat it. Again, Solomon will repeat that you logical fellow, don't nag, don't do this and that and talk about later and blah, 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 blah. Let go of all these nonsenses that you have. You have doubt and you have blah, blah, and you're waiting for all of that, so you are wasting the time. Let go of all the logical philosophic argument that you have in your brain. Put it all, because it's getting late. Yes.
Hark, Baucis, come. Else it will be bad. Thy army will become thy enemy and will be bold. Your chamberlain will destroy your door. Your soul with its soul will act as an enemy towards you. All the atoms of earth and heaven are God's army on putting it to the test. You have seen what the wind did to the people of Ad. You have seen what the water did at the deluge. How that vengeful sea dashed on Pharaoh and how this earth behaved to Karun.
How did it behave to Karun? Karun is the guy who was the wealthiest fellow. He had almost everything, and he was so powerful nobody could do anything about it. With something like that, earth swallowed him, all of it, all together. He'll bring it out of what? He's saying that, listen, when you're arguing, studying, and blah, 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 your army will be against you. What is your army? The information you have, this is your army. If you try to argue, blah, 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 suddenly this information are your enemy, because they confuse you and you could never be convinced 100%. You could have a little bit of doubt and ruin it all.